I tell you, when we ever grasp what Jesus did for us at that mercy seat, amen? His blood, as we sang earlier, His blood is covered for us. Our atonement is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Joe Dare. If you don't know, that's my second born, amen? I appreciate her so much, and Haley as well. We're blessed parents, Patsy and I appreciate my daughters and my grandchildren, my son-in-laws, and I appreciate my church family. I'm glad you're here today to come out on a rainy Sunday morning to hear the pastor preach on stewardship. Amen? That's awesome. It really is. And I'm glad you're here today. And I want you to open your Bibles today to Proverbs chapter 30. So, Daniel, you can find that back there. It's not in the notes. Proverbs chapter 30. As you're turning there, let me say, congratulations to the Eagles. Amen? I'm telling you, I was there Friday night. Athens played a great game. They play Muscle Shoals next Friday night, all right? The Golden Eagles. It was a great game last night, too, wasn't it? It really was. It was a bad day for the Bulldogs. Both of them, all right? But anyway, I do want to congratulate Auburn. What a great win. Amen. There is a God. Amen. Oh, me. It's good that we can watch and, you know, get caught up in all of that. But at the end of the day, we need to remember today's game day. Amen. Today is game day. I hope you got your game face on today. And I hope you've got your heart right with God to hear a word from God this morning. So I'm going to talk today about stewardship. I want to preach on stewardship this morning. And you say, well, why do you preach on stewardship usually every November? Well, one reason is right before Christmas, and I want to talk to you about giving before you spend it all. Amen? Another reason is it's in the Bible, and we need to teach the Word of God. Another reason is the average Christian, are you listening? The average Christian has never been taught about stewardship. Most pastors are afraid to touch it. So we're never taught from the Word of God about giving, about the attitude of giving and why we're to give and what we're giving to. And we think about how Jesus gave. So we don't understand giving. I heard about a brand new pastor came to his church, and he found out that one of the wealthiest members in his church had not given a single penny to the church. So he called him up. He said, sir, from all appearances, I find that your business is really prospering. And I also found out that you haven't given a single penny to our church. Would you like to help support our church this next year? And the wealthy member said this, do you know that my mother is ill and she has a lot of expensive medical bills? And the new pastor said, well, no, I didn't know that. He said, well, did you also know that my brother is blind, he's unemployed, my sister's husband just died, leaving broke my sister and four children? And the pastor felt so guilty, said, well, sir, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. He said, well, if I didn't give them any money, what makes you think I'm going to give the church any money? Amen? And that's kind of the way it is, aren't it? We're kind of hoarding and in, keeping it in for us. Well, the word stewardship means manager. And so we talk about giving, we talk about stewardship. That word means manager. What does that mean? It means God's given us all that we have to manage for Him. Everything that we have belongs to God. We're to manage God's resources. What resources are those? Everything. Everything we have belongs to God. And so if that's true, and it is, all of our resources belong to Him, it's a fact that some have more resources or more possessions than others. We know that. That is a fact, that some have more than others. Now, why is that? Why do some have more possessions than others? Well, one reason, some work harder than others. That's a fact. Some work harder than others. Some have invested wisely in their investments. Some have inherited more than others. That's true as well. And some just flat out were born in the right place at the right time. Would you agree with that? And then some people kind of hang on to it. And they get it and they hang on to it and they hoard it. Like little Johnny. Little Johnny's wealthy uncle gave him $10 for his birthday. Little Johnny was just blown away. And so the uncle said, well, little Johnny, I gave you $10. What are you going to do with it? He said, well, I'm going to go down and give it to the church. Because the pastor wants to know, you gave me $10. All you've been giving the church is $1. And I'm going to tell the pastor, you gave $10. And so when we come to money, it makes us uncomfortable. I realize that. And only 20% of you are going to really enjoy the message. I know that as well. And so I know that makes you uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable at times preaching on it. I really do. I don't like preaching on money because I know the stigma that goes with it from TV evangelists and all the prosperity gospel and all that kind of stuff that goes with it. But if I'm going to be faithful to the Word of God and preach the Word of God in season and out of season, as Paul says, then I need to preach the whole gospel. So today we're going to talk about stewardship. I want to talk about today the stewardship of enough. The stewardship of enough. How much is enough? Have you ever thought about that? How much is enough? Now, it's a fact, as I said, some are rich, some are poor, and some are in between. We would call that middle class. But don't you notice one of the wealthiest men in the world, one of the wisest men of knowledge in the world was Solomon. Remember King Solomon? He had a lot of wealth, right? God had blessed him. He had a lot of knowledge. And notice, turn to Proverbs chapter 30, and I want us to see what the wisest man had to say about an issue of poverty and wealth, and even rich and poor. Proverbs 30, look in verse 8 and 9. If you have your Bibles there, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever it is, I want you to look at verse 8 and 9. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Now look in verse number 9. Lest I be full and deny you and say, well, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. Now, what is Solomon writing here? What's he saying here in verse 8 and 9? He says, give me neither riches or neither give me poverty. I want neither of those. Now, he had a lot of riches, but he learned a lot. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll find that money was one of the evils that almost destroyed him. Not the money, but the love of money. And so why would Solomon write, give me neither riches nor give me poverty? Well, he explains that. He says, what do you want? What does he want? Give me my daily bread. Give me my daily provision. Isn't that what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer? Lord, give us our daily bread. And so aren't you glad that daily that you have clothes on your back and food to eat? Our daily provision. By the way, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I'm not either. So let's be grateful for our daily bread. And that's what Solomon said. Don't give me riches, don't give me poverty. Otherwise, look what he says. I want you to see this. Otherwise, I may have too much, and I might disown you, Lord, and say, who is the Lord? Matter of fact, that's exactly where America is. We have been so blessed with the resources God's given us, it has kind of turned us away from God, and we say, well, who are you, Lord? We don't really need you. We've got all the knowledge and technology. We've got all the resources we need. We don't need to talk about Jesus. We don't need to honor God. We're not dependent on God. And Solomon said, Lord, don't make me rich because I don't ever want to get away from you. I want to always be dependent on you. And then he says, I don't want to be poor either. Amen? Why does he say that? Or I may become poor and end up stealing and so dishonor the name of my God. So the testimony of the stewardship of enough, we find it right there in those verses. So we as children of God, I'm a child of God. I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And if you're a child of God, we're commanded and expected to manage and invest what we have. Are you listening? Not what we don't have. See, we need to understand this. God's told us to be good stewards of what He has given us. Not what He hasn't given us, but what He has given us. So we're to be good stewards of that. what you possess. I hear this a lot of times. Well, Pastor, I'd like to give to the church, but you know, I got all these bills I got to pay. Have you ever heard that? Here's my question. Who gave you all those things for those bills you got to pay for? Who gave you that house that you have to pay a house payment? Who gave you that car that you got to pay a car payment on? Who gave you all these things? They all belong to Him. Wouldn't it make sense that the one that gave us everything we have, that we're going to take care of Him first? Hello. Amen. He gave me everything I have. So I'm going to put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so I want to take care of God first. So I want to give you both sides of the coin today. I want to talk about the rich fool, and I want to talk about the poor widow. Those are the two subjects we're going to talk about today. Number one, let's look at the poor widow. Turn with me in Luke chapter 21. The Gospel of Luke chapter 21. And as you're turning there, would you just say amen for Pastor Dusty real loud? Amen. Because you're probably not going to say it anywhere else in this sermon, all right? So let's go ahead and get that out right now. Probably won't be getting a lot of amen. Some old me's. But anyway, I just want to share from my heart today, and I really do. So in chapter 21 of Luke, we have the widow, Jesus speaking here, and He gives this example of the poor widow and the widow's mite. Verse number 1, and He looked up and saw the rich putting in their gifts into the treasury. They were in the church, they were in the temple, and they had these big cone-like containers, and people would walk by there. They wouldn't just like, we pass it to you. They would get up and walk by. And Jesus is sitting over there with His disciples. He's watching everybody come by and as they put in the treasury. So Jesus is watching. He saw the rich put in their gifts in verse 2. And He saw a certain poor widow put in two mites, two copper coins, be worth about a penny in our day. And she put those in. And so He said, who's He speaking to? His disciples. Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God, but she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. And so we see this. Don't miss what Jesus saw. Now, Jesus is looking, and He's speaking to His disciples. He's mentoring them. So don't miss this. Don't miss what Jesus saw. See, we don't see what Jesus sees. We just look in the physical realm. But Jesus looks in the spiritual realm. And so that's what He's doing. And so He's looking and He's watching. Now here's a great truth. In this widow's sacrificial act, Jesus saw a moving display of the proper attitude toward money. Why is He commending this poor widow over all those who put in a lot of gifts? Because she had the proper attitude toward her finances, her stewardship. She knew God owned it all. She knew that God owned it all. And so though she gave little, she gave a lot. And so here's the principle. When Jesus looks at our stewardship, He's looking in the spiritual realm when we're looking in the physical realm. He's looking at our spiritual lives. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at the attitude of our giving, not the amount. Amen. It's not the amount you give, it's the heart, the attitude in which you give it. And that's why He gives the parable here of this rich, of this poor lady and this rich who gave a lot. Now, I read this devotion from our Daily Bread. Kim gave it to me. And I want to share it with you. Gordon Cosby was the pastor, or is the pastor, of the church in Washington, D.C. He wrote this. He tells of a widow in his church who had six children. And she were barely able to feed those six children. And they had a limited income. But she, every week, this poor widow in his church, he noticed that she would give $4 every week. Every Sunday, she was faithful to give $4. Well, one of the deacons came to Pastor Cosby. And he said, Deacon, he said, Pastor, this poor widow, she's giving $4 a week. She's got six children. She can't even hardly provide for those six children. Why don't you go to her and tell her it'll be okay if she just keeps that $4 and buy food and clothing for her 6 children. So the pastor listened to the deacon, and he went and talked to the poor widow. And he went to her and said, "Ma'am, I just want to share something with you. We know you're faithful to give to our church $4 every week. Why don't you just take that $4 and why don't you just keep it for food and clothing for your 6 children?" And the poor widow looked at the pastor, and here's what she said. "You are trying to take away the last thing that gives me dignity and meaning to my life." The pastor meant well, the deacon meant well, but they looked physically when this widow was viewing it spiritually. And that's the way we view stewardship, from a physical point instead of a spiritual view. And it's about the heart. It's about the attitude. They saw physically, but she looked at it spiritually. And she did exactly what the Bible teaches. It all belongs to God, so give back to Him out of the abundance of what you have, not what you don't have. Amen? So it's all equal across the board. You give of what you have. And this poor widow in Luke chapter 21 had two principles behind her giving. The parable that I just read to you, I want to give you these two principles. Principle number one. Giving usually benefits the giver more than the receiver. Amen? When our giving, that's what happened to that widow in Washington, D.C. It was benefiting her as a giver instead of a receiver. So I found this principle in my own life. I'm telling you. Giving is better for the giver than it is the receiver. It's a great principle. That's why Jesus said in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus knew that. Again, he's looking at the spiritual. He's looking at the motive. Now, it's true that those in poverty need financial help. We know that. We got people all around us, right here in Alabama and right here in the United States, that need physical help. We know that. But sometimes it's better to give, even in our poverty. It's better to give. It's more important to give than it is to receive. You may not know this, but we have a benevolence fund here at Lindsay Lane. We've already depleted it. Lindsay Lane has already given $15,000 away in benevolence this year. We have people all the time come by our church needing help for this, help for that. We give $5,000 to LCCI, and we've given away already $15,000 in benevolence. But I found out something. Those are always wanting to receive. I wonder if they ever thought about giving. Can y'all help me with this? Can y'all help me with that? Let me ask you a question. Who have you been helping? Have you ever thought about giving that you might be able to receive? And our focus is on the physical. I need, I need, I need. But what are we giving away? What are we giving away? And it's dawned on me. I just had a think out loud sometimes. It may be the shape you're in because you don't know how to give. Just a thought. I'm telling you, God blesses obedience in giving. And I'm not just talking about money. God blesses in obedience when we give away. Whatever that is, God honors that. But God does not honor disobedience. He can't bless you when you're disobedient. He really can't when we're disobedient. And so it's a great principle we need to learn from the Word of God. Principle number two, the act of giving reminds us that we live by the grace of God. See, the act of giving reminds me that I live by the grace of God. Now, why does it remind me of that? Because God gave it all to me. We just sing about the blood of Christ. The crucifixion of Christ died on the cross. For what? For you. He gave His life for you. And so when I give, it reminds me that the grace that He's bestowed upon me, I'm to give back as He's given to me. I'm telling you to help you when you do that. The Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 6, if you'll read Matthew chapter 6, it says that God takes care of the birds of the air, specifically a sparrow. Now read it. Matthew chapter 6, God takes care of the birds, God takes care of the flowers, specifically the lily of the field. He gives this analogy in Matthew chapter 6 that if God provides for the sparrow and God provides for the lily, don't you think He's going to provide for you? Amen? And so he does. He provides. They don't worry about their future. It's in God's hands. Then we shouldn't just agonize about our future, because our future's in God's hands. He's going to take care of us. Listen to this truth. Giving as a faithful steward offers us a way to express confidence that God will take care of us, just as he takes care of the sparrow and just as he takes care of the lily. There's a song that says, his eye is on the sparrow and he watches over me. He does. His eye's on you. He's watching that widow. Guys, gather around. Watch this. And the widow gave two mites. Others were bringing in big checks and all that. He said, this woman gave more than anybody. And I bet you they were confused over that. He said, in the spiritual realm, she gave more than anyone. Amen? And so God views us in the spiritual realm. And if he takes care of the sparrow and the lily, he will take care of you as well. William Wordsworth put it this way. Whatever, Lord, we lend to thee, repaid a thousandfold will be. Then gladly we give it all to thee, who gavest all, who gavest all. Here's a great truth in your outline. Don't miss this. We disarm the power of money by giving it away. Listen to this. We disarm the power of money when we learn to give it away. You know, many people have had heartache, problems, disasters over money. That's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, there's people divorced over it. There's people disown their children over it. There's people kill one another over it. And see, when you got all this money, sometimes it just brings more problems. And some of you say, well, I like to have a few more problems, amen? And that's okay. But listen, I'm telling you, money will learn, it will eventually control you if you let it. But if you have the proper attitude, the proper perspective toward money, then it can be a tool that God would help you use to bless you and help others. And money doesn't have a control on you. You're controlling it because you're a steward. You're a good manager of all that God's blessed you with. And I'm telling you, it's a great truth. Let me give you the second one, the other comparison, the other side of the coin. That's the poor widow. Now let's look at the rich fool. Luke chapter 12. Turn back to Luke chapter 12, and let's look at this comparison. Luke chapter 12, and look in verse 13 and following. Y'all all right? Everybody doing okay so far? It's like going to the doctor, isn't it? So far, so good. I know the shot's coming. The shot's coming, isn't it? But so far, so good, Pastor. We're all right. We're hearing you. All right, now let's look at this second part of this message. Don't you look at this rich fool. Now, look, notice what Jesus said again. In verse 13, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. They're already bickering and fighting over it. And see, two-thirds of the inheritance went to the older son, and only one-third went to the other one. This is probably the younger son said, hey, tell my brother, I want my inheritance. I want my part of it. I'm going to knock his block off if you don't give it to me. Now, I'm adding that in there, all right? But verse 14, Jesus said, listen to what Jesus said. It's an unusual answer. Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? I'll tell you why I think he said that in a second. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Some feel like they've arrived because they got a lot of stuff. Hey, you don't know who I am, do you? I own that house over there. I own that car. I own this business over here. Okay, so what? And in 16, and then he said the parable to them. Jesus gave another parable. Listen to this. The ground of a certain man yielded plentiful. His business was blessed. He was a blessed man. And he thought within himself, saying, man, what am I going to do? I've got so much money coming in. I have no room to store my crops. I'm so blessed. Everything's yielding. I mean, the beans are good, the corn, the cotton, everything's, I'm telling you, I got so much stuff. Like my barns won't even hold it all. Or my storage building. That's why that's one of the greatest things, popular things going up. They just put one around my house over there, a whole new storage building area. I wonder why we got so many of those. Could it be that we got so much stuff? I'm not a smart man. I just kind of look around, all right? And so he said, here's what I'm going to do. I will pull down those old barns. I'm going to build me some bigger, nicer barns. And then I'll store all my goods and my crops. Verse 19. And I'm going to say, hey, you've done well, big boy. So, you have many goods laid up for many years. Won't you go ahead and retire? I mean, you've got all this stuff. Go ahead and retire. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus said, uh-oh. He didn't think about the spiritual things. He was just looking at the physical. But he never thought about the spiritual. And then he says this in verse number 20. But God said to him, fool, this night you're going to die. You're going to have a heart attack tonight. Then, who's all that stuff going to be? You're not even going to make retirement. You're going to die tonight. Let me ask you a question. All that stuff you've accumulated, all those finances, all that wealth, who's it going to be now? See, Jesus looks at the spiritual, and we're looking in the physical realm. And boy, here's a sad commentary. Verse 21, so it is with he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, I'm just preaching it. I'm just the messenger. Amen? So it is with all of us who lay up stuff for ourselves and we're not rich toward God. How can God ever bless you? How can he bless you if you're not rich toward God? And so this is the message today. Here's a rich fool. We've seen about the poor widow. Now, why did Jesus say in verse 13 and 14, he said, hey, who made me your judge and arbitrator? See, these two men were fighting over money, and Jesus knew if they didn't get their hearts right, he could be there till the cows come home. He never would settle that until they got their hearts right about the finances. So that's why he gave that answer. See, what they didn't realize, they didn't need their inheritance divided. They needed their hearts united. That's what they needed. That's what America needs. We don't need any more division. We need some unity. We need to start coming together. And I believe God can bring us together. Amen? Well, I believe he can. And so, like many today, here's what these guys were doing. Like many today, we want God to serve us, but we don't want him to save us. We want him, hey, I need something. Brother Bradley, will you help me with this? Will you help me with this, Brother Randy? Will you help me, Brother Eric? Will you help me with this? We want God to serve us, but we don't want him to save us. And see, when they come to our church, we start telling about Jesus. It thins them out. Matter of fact, they call you on the phone. I had one call me the other night. By the way, they still call me. I got a call the other night from the Bomar Inn, and it said, hey, it's just some pitiful stories you ever heard in your life. I hear them all. I've heard them all. I got five dogs, three of them's dead. My cat's, all my cars just broke down. And I say, well, how'd you get in that mess? I don't know. I just got in it. And I try to say, well, what about your spiritual life? Have you ever thought about, you know, we're a church here. I'm a pastor of a church, and our churches want to help you spiritually. Have you ever thought about, they don't want to talk about that. We want to be served, and a lot of us are that way. We want to be served, but we don't want to talk about Jesus and money and how to manage it. And so sometimes we just need to flat out understand it's about the spiritual and not always about the physical. We want to help people. We do. I'm telling you, we've given all kind of gas away. I even gave a bank robber gas. Amen? He went and robbed a bank. I'm generous. Very generous. That guy had the saddest story I ever heard. I just fell right in. Well, so I want you to know something. When we talk to him, we're really generous. We really are. But we're also very serious about our relationship with Jesus Christ. We want them to know Christ. And so this rich man, you know, he didn't understand it. And so look what it says. Verse 15 says, from all covetousness. That's the way the Greek text reads. From all covetousness, which means from every kind of greed or desire for money. What is covetousness? Here's a definition in your outline of covetousness. Covetousness is an unquenchable thirst for desiring more and more of something we think we need in order to be truly satisfied, whether it's our possessions, our position, or our power. That's why we covet. We covet for possessions, we covet for position, and we covet for power. And we look around in the physical realm, we see all these things. And I want some of that. I desire some of that. I want more of that. And we should be wanting more of Jesus. And see, he satisfies our inner needs. Money will satisfy your physical need, but it won't satisfy your inner need. And this poor widow had the right attitude toward money, but this fella didn't. Amen? In this parable, he did not. See, it's the root. It's the root of why people steal and why people murder and why people even rob God in tithes and offerings. It's because of covetousness. It's because of greed. A desire to have more for me. The emphasis physically is on me and not spiritually on him. And so we do all kind of things, even rob God. So here's two principles I want us to see from the rich fool. Amen? Number one, principle number one, riches can promote a false sense of security. I've been there, by the way. When I was gambling, I used to think if I could just gamble and win money, it would make me feel bigger. I mean, I was the big cheese. I told you about all that kind of stuff. And it just gave me a false sense of being somebody. And see, money makes you feel like you're really somebody. I mean, people are looking at me, man. I got all this stuff. And when in reality, they're talking about you. They always do. Most of the time. And God's looking at you. What's he saying about you? That's the number one person you need to realize is what's he saying about your life? And so what I'm speaking of here is riches can promote a false sense of security. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Timothy 6. And I want to show you something. 1 Timothy 6. I want you to see this in the Scripture. First Timothy 6. And look in verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 and following. Now, this is the opposite of covetousness, greed, desire. Here it is. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content what you have. Verse 6, 7. For we brought nothing in this world, and it's for certain you're not going to take anything with you. There's not a U-Haul behind the hearse. I'll get it right in a minute, all right? And so you're not going to take anything with you, but you can send some things ahead. Your testimony with others, witnessing to others, investing in others. Do you know that the investment you make in the kingdom of God, you can send those ahead? You really can. You're investing in something bigger than you are that'll outlast you. Look what verse number 8. And having food and clothing, with these we should be content. Back to what he said in Proverbs, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. By the way, it's not a sin to be rich. I thank God for those who are rich investing in the kingdom of God, don't you? It's not a sin to be rich. It's not at all. But here's what he says. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, don't miss this, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, covetousness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See, money can destroy you if you don't know how to handle it, if you don't know how to invest it, if you don't know the spiritual connotation of it. It can really hurt you. Now, some people say this, money will never satisfy you. Hogwash. Let's just be honest. If I had $1 million, it would satisfy me in my physical realm. I'd go buy a lot of stuff. I'd even buy Patsy something, amen? I'd get her something. And see, if I had $1 million, don't say it won't satisfy me. Oh, yes, it would. It would satisfy my physical need. But money won't satisfy your spiritual need. And that's what's last forever. And so you want to be rich here temporarily and take a chance on your soul? Or do you want to be rich spiritually like the poor widow And God still mentioned you 2,000 years later. Your choice. My choice. And we get to choose these things. And so God will help us if we'll only listen to Him and listen to His principles. God wants to help us. You see, there's some things in life that money can't buy. Amen? Can't buy a national championship. Amen? It can't do it. It can't buy a godly marriage. Can't buy godly children. It can't even get wayward children out of the mess. You can go up there and bail them out every day. Spiritually, it's not going to help them that much. And so there's some things that money just can't buy. And so God gives this parable in verses 16 through 19. He tells this parable to reveal to us the danger that lurks behind covetousness, a greedy heart. Now let me ask you a question. And I'm almost through. How would you respond in this dilemma? If you were this rich fool and God began to bless you beyond your wildest imagination, and let's just say your investment, let's just say you invested in something, man, and the stock just went sky high and you started getting hundreds and thousands of dollars. Or maybe you inherited, or however how you got it, but all of a sudden you got money everywhere. And you know, I mean, you're kind of complexed. And you say, what am I going to do with all of this? Let me ask you this. What would you do? What would you build? Bigger barns? Bigger houses? Whatever it is? How would we respond if we were in this rich fool's position? How would you respond? Here's a man that had too much. Too much. And so, when is it enough? Think about this. When is it enough? When would you say, well, that's all I need, man. I don't need nothing else. And so God's blessing you. God's blessing you. So why don't you just begin to give the rest away and invest it in others, invest it in the kingdom of God. You got enough. You got more than enough, really. And so you invest the rest in the kingdom of God for His glory. You ever think about this? Wonder why God blessed you? Wonder why your ship came in? You ever wonder why your ship did come in and how God blessed you in that process? I'm telling you, W.A. Criswell told of a businessman. I love this story. W.A. Criswell's in heaven now. He used to be the pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas. And he had a businessman in his church that invested, and he began to make a lot of money. He was a new Christian, and he began to tithe to the church. And W.A. Criswell knew him personally. And all of a sudden, this man's investments began to go out of the roof. I mean, God blessed him, and I'm telling you, he began to be a millionaire, a multi-millionaire. He called W. This is a true story. He called W.A. Criswell up. He said, Pastor, I got to talk to you. And so he came in his office. He said, I got to tell you something. I can't keep tithing. He said, what do you mean? He said, I'm telling you, I'm making millions of dollars. I've been tithing a tenth of everything I've owned, and I can't keep doing that. I mean, I'm making millions. You know what my tithe would be? And Dr. Criswell was a wise man. He said, I tell you what, let's do. Let's just go to God right now. So they got on their knees. He said, oh, Lord, this man has a big dilemma. Would you just relieve this burden of his finances? And would you just get him back to where he used to be? And the man starts saying, no, don't pray that. You ever thought about that? My ship's come in. I got to lower my tide. No, you need to increase it. Because He's increased your barn. Amen? And so that's the principle. And God blessed this man, and God wants to use us as well. And my premise is this. Here's the heart of the matter, and I'm coming to principle number two of the rich fool. Here's the whole premise, what I want to talk to you about. How much is enough, and at what point does need become greed? Now fill in the blank in your outline. I'll give you an outline, a good outline, by the way. It's a whole page. And so you need to take this home, and you need to get out these scriptures and go over it. I'm giving you the blanks. Take it home, fill it out, and pray over it. So here's principle number two. Here's the blank. How much is enough, and at what point does your need become greed? Amen? That's a good word. Now, J.K. Chesterton wrote this. There are two ways to get enough. Look at that on the screen. There are two ways to get enough. One is accumulate more and more, and the other is to desire less and less. It's a good word, isn't it? So let that sink in. I'm reading the word for you today. By the way, we give these free. See, when you give to this church, when you give your tithes and offerings, we give some stuff back free to you. One of those is the word for you today. There, we order 5,000 of those. I believe it's 1,000. Or is it 5,000 or 5,000? I don't know how many it is. Anyway, we got a lot of folks here. And so we give these out free. I hope you're taking one and reading it. Do you know this? I'm telling y'all, Kim can attest to this. There's no telling how many prisoners that we get letters from who say this: please send me a new word for you today. I'm telling you, not only here in Athens Correctional Facility, we get them all over the state. Somehow they've gotten out and they call us or they write us a letter and they'll say, send me five of them. I'm telling you, I got a Bible study here in prison and I love the word for you today. I got letters in my office from prisoners. God's using this devotional. And I found this in there. It's by Harold Saylor. Harold Saylor wrote this. Listen, people today are possessed by possessions as no other generation. The more complex life becomes, and it is, the more convinced we are that we need more to be happy. Having obtained what we think we need, we soon become unhappy because a model with more bells and more whistles come out. Can you say iPhone? Anyway, more bells and more whistles come out. Listen to this statement. It takes far less than we think to discover happiness if it comes from within and we break the stranglehold that things have on our lives. You know what he's saying? We focus so much on the physical things and we neglect the spiritual things, and we've been duped by the devil to believe that those physical things will make us happy. If I just get the 5S, and by the way, I just got it. Can I get a witness? I traded in my 4 and got a 5S, so I'm right there with him, brother. Is that 5S making me happy? It's complex. I mean, that lady on there drives me crazy. She can't understand my vernacular. I try to hold it in and say, hey, lady, I want to text Patsy. Did you say Joe? It's the accent. I know it is. It's the accent. And see, that's an upgrade, but it's so complex. Why don't I just call her? Why would you spend, you know, I didn't figure this out. Why would you spend 30 minutes doing this when all you got to do is call them, get it over with? What you doing? I'm here at Walmart. What are you doing? All right, bye. I don't understand it. Adults, we're just as bad. Amen. It's complex. All you got to do is call them. That's where we got to, isn't it? And so that's where we are. And our lives should be measured not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. All right, let me wrap it up. Let me wrap it up. Y'all getting tired. Why in the world did Jesus call this man a fool? Why did he call him a fool? Look in verse 20. Here's why. But God said to him, fool. You're a fool. Why would Jesus call this man a fool? He said, because tonight you're going to die. And all that stuff is going to go back in the box, just like Monopoly. It's going to all go back. By the way, who's it going to go to? You ever thought about that? Your wife's going to marry somebody else. Just a thought, all right? You better give it to God while you can, brother. Hey, y'all think that's funny? I'm going to share my heart about something. I had a guy gave me a check. He wrote me a check, and I took it. Here's what he said. I want you to get it before my wife does. Under God. He told me that. I took it. Amen. All right, I'll get it before she gets it. They're going through a divorce. He just wrote me a check to church, and I want you to get it before she gets it. I'm telling you, it's out there. It really is. And so think about what Jesus is saying to us. You're a fool when you don't focus on your spiritual life and all your energy, time, investments, and money is all about your physical. You're a fool because you're gambling with eternity. That's what you're doing. You're gambling with eternity. And then in verse number 21, I'll close with this. Look at verse 21. Oh, my word, don't miss this. That's the way it is, Jesus said, with those who lay up treasures for themselves and are not rich toward God. I've experienced both sides of this coin. I'm not a rich man, but I know what it means to be in poverty. I was there. Patsy and I were there in 1982. I got laid off from Steelcase, and we didn't know where our meal was coming from. By the way, I sent my wife up there to get food stamps. And for 1 month, Patsy and I are on food stamps. And I'm a blessed man now financially. God's blessed me. We've invested some things, and God's blessed our lives. We save, and we're blessed. You know why I believe God did that? So I could invest it back into other things. My Sunday school class blessed me a week ago for Pastor's Appreciation Day. Blessed me. You know what I want to do with that? I want to give it away. I want to help others. And it just feels good when you got stuff, you can give it away and help others invest in the kingdom of God. It really does. And so it's not about the money. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. And Jesus said, you're a fool if you're not rich toward God. One of the greatest quotes I've ever heard on this line is by Jim Elliot, who was a missionary who gave his life, was killed by the very people he was trying to minister to. And he gave us this quote. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. I want to say that again. I want it to seep in. He is no fool. Jesus said, this man's a fool. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain what he cannot lose. Isn't that awesome? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, bless it now. You've spoken into our heart about stewardship. And Lord, these truths are so elementary, it seems, at times, but yet they're so profound. And I just pray today that you've spoken to our heart in the area of the spiritual and not just the physical. When a preacher stands up to preach on stewardship and money, immediately our mind goes to the physical. Here we go again. Money, money, money. We don't think about the spiritual lesson that the pastors preached today. And if we just go out of here thinking about the physical, another message on tithing, giving, stewardship, we've missed the whole message. Because this message has been about the spiritual. It's about the poor widow's heart, her attitude, and it's about the rich fool's heart and his attitude, both about money, how they managed their stewardship, the resources that you blessed them with. And so I pray today we'd be faithful in our stewardship, not only of our finances, but most of all, of our life. Some here today don't know Jesus, and they're foolish, not giving their heart to Jesus Christ. They're foolish. Because this very night, their soul could be required. And so, Lord, I pray this very day they'd give their heart to Jesus. Some need to come and follow up in baptism. We've seen the past few weeks getting our baptism in order, being obedient to the Scripture. Some need to come and just pray about maybe giving themselves and giving what you put blessed them with. I pray they would come. Some want to come and join the church. This is the church you've led them to. I pray they would come and unite with Lindsay Lane. But Lord, most of all, I pray for this altar today that we would just do business with you in whatever area you've dealt with our hearts and convicted us and draw us to you. We just may want to come and praise you for how you've blessed us. I give you glory and praise and pray you'd bless us in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us? And would you come as we sing, Dwayne? You come right now.
Giving you my